This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we've been going through the book of John. And we come to chapter 10, it's an interesting chapter because this is a chapter where Jesus deals with the fact and he refers to himself as, I am the door and I am also the good shepherd. This is coming on the heels of interaction and that he's been having with the Pharisees. And it's been evident in the way that they have responded to his teaching that they have no desire to hear what he's got to say, and really their main desire is to silence him. They really are false teachers, and they are false shepherds. Those of you who have grown up around a farm or are aware of farm animals, sheep are an animal that need care. They're an animal that need guidance and direction. And Jesus uses sheep, which were one of the main animals that were being raised in Israel, not only then, but actually now. I've talked to you before about the fact that there are still Bedouin shepherds in Israel that would raise and herd or lead their sheep and treat their sheep just as they did at the time when Jesus was living. There are still sheepfolds in Israel where sheep are put into the fold in the evening to protect them. And a lot has changed, but a lot has not changed over the centuries since our Lord walked on the earth. Well, as Jesus has had this interaction with the Pharisees, and they have proven themselves to be false teachers, false leaders, those who desire to lead people astray and away from God instead of towards Him, Jesus is now going to share a parable, and it's the parable of the shepherd. Let's begin at chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the way of the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things they were which he spake unto them. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand the significance of the words that Jesus was speaking, both to the audience he had then, as well as the truths that can be applied even to us today. Lord, I pray that you would just open our understanding and give us a desire to not only hear, but to apply to these truths to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, the people that Jesus is speaking to, his audience, they know exactly what he was speaking about. They know about sheep, they know about sheepfolds, they know about porters, they know about shepherds. And they also have an understanding of interaction of the sheep with their shepherd. Jesus is talking to not only the audience who are not the Pharisees, but he's also directing this to the Pharisees and Sadducees and those who are speaking against him. The sheep that he's speaking of here are in an illustration at this time of the nation of Israel. Because Israel had been seeking a shepherd. They've been looking for a shepherd. You know that throughout a lot of the prophets oftentimes talk about the fact that Israel had strayed, they'd gone astray. There are many times in the prophecies of the Old Testament, there's reference to the nation of Israel being as sheep. And also David,
who was a shepherd often used the terminology of the people as being sheep in need of a shepherd. Well, Israel was that. They were sheep in need of a shepherd. And they also needed the protection of a shepherd and the guidance of a shepherd. So as you look at this parable, you need to understand that the sheep referred to here by the Lord, especially given the audience that he's got, is the nation of Israel. But he starts this out by pointing out the fact that in a sheepfold, there is a true shepherd, and there are those that are false shepherds. And he says in the first verse, he says, "Verily, verily," again the term "verily, verily," listen, because I'm going to teach you a very important truth. "I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, he's referring, why would he open this up with the example of the false shepherd, the one who isn't the true shepherd? He says that this person enters in not by the door, not by the way that they're supposed to enter in. Now, the nation of Israel had all the prophets of old had been foretelling about the Messiah. And this Messiah was coming, and he was going to lead the nation of Israel. He was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. He was going to be the Savior of Israel. He was going to be the Son of God, the Anointed of God, that would come on behalf of the Lord to redeem and lead Israel. However, there had been many false messiahs that had come, not only prior to this, but even during the time of Jesus, there were many false messiahs. As a matter of fact, later on, when the disciples are being persecuted by the church after Jesus had died and risen from the dead, and they are discussing what they should do with these people, one of the rabbis of the time, one of the two greatest rabbis, who was also the rabbi that Paul studied under Gamaliel, as he is listening to all this, he says, "Well, if this is true, there's nothing we are going to do to stop it because we're fighting against God. But if it is not true, they will be like the false teachers that have come before, the false messiahs, and they'll just disappear." And there had been many of those, men who had claimed to be Messiah, men who had claimed that Israel needed to follow them, and yet, even as some of the false messiahs today, they just fall off the scene. It's interesting, if you go to Israel today and you ride in a taxi cab, many of the cabs will have a little picture of this Jewish rabbi, and he's from the United States, and he has died. He didn't rise from the dead, though. But they believe that he is the Messiah, and that's why they have his little picture in their cab, because they think he's Messiah, but he's a false Messiah. And Jesus is referring to really directing this at this time to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders, because they are not coming to the sheep of Israel the way that the Lord had instructed them come, and the door that he had prepared for them. The door that he had prepared was set by the prophets who foretold who the Messiah was going to be, where he was going to come from, where he was going to be born, the things that he would do when he came that would prove the fact that he was the Messiah. We just had the encounter with the man who had been blind since birth. And you remember one of the things that had been said when the Pharisees were inquiring of this man, the man said to them, "Well, who is he that is able to cause one to see that's been blind from birth, but the one that is from God?" And that is what the prophets had foretold. One of the miracles that the Messiah would be able to do would be give sight to those who have been blind from birth, who had always been blind. No man had been able to do that, but Jesus did. And there were other things that pointed to the fact that he was Messiah by the things that he had done. Yet the Jewish leadership, who Jesus referred to as the Jews, They did not want people to come to Christ, and so they attempted to shut the door and not point to the way that the sheep could get into the fold. And instead, they are referred to by Jesus as those who are robbers and thieves, thieves and robbers, who seek to climb over the wall and enter a different way other than the way that God had established that they should enter. What is the difference between a robber and a thief? Well, a thief takes that which you don't have, but he does it by subtlety. He doesn't come and put a gun in your face and say, "I want your money," but he steals your money by deception and by being not open with what he's about. A robber does it by coming with brute force and taking what is yours in spite of you not wanting to give it. And there is no subtlety with what he does. That's the difference between a thief and a robber. Well, these were acting both as thieves and robbers. They were by acting subtly and saying that they possessed the truth, and here we're going to lay out the truth for you. But they were also acting as robbers because they came by force, as we saw what they did with this man who was unwilling to denounce Jesus, but actually, and Roberta, when we were going home after church last Sunday afternoon on the way to Minneapolis, she said, "You know what, I just love that portion of that particular passage we were studying last Sunday, where you got the blind man that lectures the Jewish leaders and really chastises them." And she says, "Here you got a guy who hadn't been trained at all, and they didn't take it well." If you remember well, their response to it was they kicked him out of the synagogue. They used force to try and get their way. That's a robber. And the thief, they also tried to deceive the people into thinking that they really wanted to know who the Messiah was, but Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Now, so Jesus is laying out who the players are here. And he gives them as in the example that they would know in his parable. And this is a parable because he doesn't use real people. He doesn't use, but he uses the sheep or something that they would know to teach a lesson and use that to explain the actions of people. Now, what is the porter? Now, the porter, if you had many sheep that would be going into a fold where it wouldn't be just one shepherd that had his fold, there would be a porter that would stand by the gate. And the shepherds, as they would come to get their sheep, he would allow the porter to go in, and the porter would call, and his sheep would come out and follow him. The porter's job was to make sure that no one came in, but they also were to direct the sheep to their shepherd. Who is a porter that Jesus is speaking of? Well, there's a number of different ways you could look at it. One would be the Holy Spirit that directs people to Christ. We would not know who Jesus was apart from the Spirit opening our eyes and ears and understanding. Likewise, the people at the time that Jesus walked on the earth, the Spirit of God opened up their eyes so that they could see and hear and understand. But also, the porter at the time that Jesus came, an example of a porter would have been John the Baptist, because he came not as the shepherd, but to call the people out to follow the shepherd and to introduce the shepherd to the sheep. That's much the same way that a porter would have done, where you had a large sheepfold with multiple shepherds bringing their sheep to it. Then it's interesting that he says that the sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd. Now, as you look at the Gospel of John, where we've gone through so far, we see that that's exactly what's happened. Those that are true sheep respond to Jesus' call. You see that he called the disciples, and when he said, "Come follow me," what did they do? They left their jobs, they left their fishing jobs, they left the other things they were involved in. Matthew left his tax collecting. They left all of that to come follow Christ when he called them to follow him. an example of those that were true sheep desiring to follow the one who was their shepherd. And so Jesus says, that sheep would know the voice of your shepherd. I've shared with you before about David Hocking when he was in Israel, and he took tours there for a number of years. And when you go on some of the bus tours, you'll stop at various places and look at things, and they had stopped at this one place, and all of a sudden this Bedouin shepherd came, and he was leading his sheep. It's also very hard to herd sheep. You need to have your sheep get used to your voice so they follow you and they want to be with you because they know that you'll take care of them. That's the whole relationship between a shepherd and sheep. Well, this Bedouin shepherd came and all the sheep were following him. And so he went over and he got the sheep over by some green grass, and he had them lay down, and he was kind of sitting down there, and his sheep were all around him. And David Hocking went over and talked to him. And he was talking to him, and he says, "So your sheep will obey your voice?" And he said, "Yeah, they'll follow me. They've learned commands that I get. When I tell them to come, they'll get up and they'll follow me. When I tell them to go, I tell them to stop, and they'll stop, and they'll go and they'll lay down, and they do what I tell them to do." And so David Hocking said, "Well, do you think they would listen to me if I spoke in English?" And he said, "No. They wouldn't listen to you because they wouldn't understand the commands at all." And he says, "Well, can you teach me the commands?" And he said, "Well, I can teach you the commands, but they're still not going to respond to you." And so he taught him to say the commands in the native language. And so David Hocking got up and he told the sheep to come, follow me. And they all just sat there or laid there or stood there. And they didn't do anything. And he said it again, "Come follow me." And they didn't do anything. And so he went over to the Bedouin and he says, "Well, am I saying it right?" And he says, "Yeah, you're saying it right." He says, "Well, why won't they respond to the command?" "Because it's not my voice. They respond to my voice, not yours." And David said, "Really? Will they really respond to your voice just by, if you give them the same command?" He said, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." So he said the same words that David had said. The sheep all stood up. The shepherd started walking, and the sheep all followed right after him. That's what Jesus is talking about here. The sheep know the true shepherd's voice. They won't respond to the voice of a false shepherd. And they seek to be, and the reason that they respond to the voice of the shepherd, the true shepherd, is they know that the true shepherd takes care of them. He is there, and he's their protector. He's the one that leads them, as David said in Psalm 23. He leads them beside the still waters. Sheep will not drink from running water, from the little rapids or something. They won't drink from that. They want to drink from still water, where the water is still. He leads them to green pastures, where they will have plenty to eat. And he will take care of them, and his rod and his staff, David said in Psalm 23, are there to guide them and protect them. And so we see that all of those things are the mark of a shepherd. So Jesus is talking about a true shepherd and false shepherds. He's talking about sheep, and he's talking about true sheep, and how they respond to the true shepherd. Now, as you look at this, does it have any application for today? It has lots of applications for today. One of the things that you see often happens is the way that the nation of Israel and those that did not respond to Jesus as the true shepherd during the time of his first coming, oftentimes those that claim to be Christians or followers of Christ today, the same dynamics are in the world today and in the church today as were being seen when Jesus came the first time. I just want to share some things with you along those lines. First of all, Jesus came, and his sheep in the church are true believers. They're those who, when he said, "Come follow me," you've come. If you're a believer here tonight, there was a time in your life where the Holy Spirit convicted you of your need to confess your sin and come and give your life to Christ and follow Christ and quit following the world, but follow Jesus. And so we see that the true believer hears the voice of Christ. The door's been opened to him by the porter, which is the Holy Spirit, so that he can understand and be introduced to the true shepherd, and so he can hear his voice and know that it's time to go and follow him. But just as at the time of Jesus, you had the false teachers who were really the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jewish leadership of Israel, who had no desire to teach the people the truth, but rather tried to couch the truth in religious terms and religious experience, but really never bring and introduce people to the true shepherd. There are those today that do the same thing. There are all kinds of false shepherds that have come into the church. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, James, they all tell of false teachers that are going to come in the last days. And their whole intent, a false teacher doesn't come to help you learn the truth. They don't come to help you to grow in your knowledge and wisdom. They come to deceive you. That is the whole purpose. And if you're going to be someone who comes to deceive, you don't come and tell people, "I'm here to deceive you." It takes away from the whole concept of deception. Deception works best when people think you're telling them the truth, but you're really telling them a lie. And so a lot of people will say, "Well, that sounds so good, but how does it compare against Scripture?" You see, what the Pharisees did at the time of Jesus, they had things that sounded very religious. They sounded very good. But if you compared it against the principle in the Scripture, it was off kilter. It didn't line up the way that it needed to. If you're going to have the truth has to be, as I've shared before, 100% truth. You can't have partial truth. And the Pharisees were trying to combine human thinking and creating a religion that was not based upon the true Word of God, and they were leading people astray. There are people that have come into the church today that come as teachers, and their whole purpose is not to teach the Word of God, nor is it to get people to grow and mature in the Lord, nor is it to draw people closer to Christ so they can understand and hear the voice of their shepherd better, but instead it's to deceive them and get them to go a different way. If you get a chance to read the book Pilgrim's Progress, I encourage you to read it, because a lot of things that you experience in your Christian life, John Bunyan did a great job of writing in this story of Pilgrim, who's on his journey to the celestial city, and the things that he encounters. And he encounters those that are come along, and their whole intent is to deceive him, to get him to go on a different path. And they make it sound so good. They say, "Oh, well, we're true believers. We're going to the same place you're going. But this is a shortcut. We can get there quicker if you just come this way." He stops at a city by the name of Vanity Fair. And there they say, "Oh, stay here, because here you experience all of these wonderful things, and it's all vanity." And vanity means nothing. It has no value at all, but it has the perception of value. It's beautiful, it's sparkling, it appears that the people are having this wonderful time, but it's all surface, and there's no depth perception, or no depth to this, and there's no it's not taking you closer to the celestial city, it's trying to keep you from going there. Well, that's what Satan does all the time, and that's what his false teachers today do. You've got people that'll come and they'll teach you, we talked a little bit on Sunday about it, the prosperity gospel is in the church, and that is that if you're not prosperous, if you're not healthy, if you're not having all the things that you want to, the name and claim it, and if you have any problems in your life at all, you don't have the right kind of faith. And so what you need to do is listen to my message as a prosperity teacher, and you need to do what I tell you, and maybe it's send me your money and I'll send you a prayer handkerchief, or send me your money and I'll send you water from the Jordan River, or send me money and I'll send you something in return. But it'll by doing that, you will be guaranteed that you'll be able to get all these wonderful things. Well, it's a lie. It's a deception. God never promises that. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the exact opposite. What did Jesus say? If you're going to be my true follower, what can we expect in this world? We can expect opposition. We can expect, really, persecution in one form or another. Why? Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Why? Because he's at enmity, at war with the world. The world hates God, or it wouldn't be in rebellion against God. And so we need to understand that there are false teachers out there whose whole point in deceiving people is to lead them away from God. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about, those who come in as robbers and thieves. Well, what about the voice of the Good Shepherd? Next Sunday afternoon, we're going to get into Jesus expounds more on the Good Shepherd and how that he's the Good Shepherd. But the thing is, the sheep listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, and they don't get in trouble when they listen to his voice. The time they get in trouble is when they ignore his voice. When do people that are Christians and true believers and love the Lord, when do we get in trouble, and when does Satan have the greatest victories in our lives by causing us to stumble or fall or sin? It's when we quit listening to the shepherd. How do we listen to the shepherd today? Well, we don't hear Jesus' voice audibly, but we've got the Word of God. And we need to be in the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, applying the principles of God's Word to our life on a daily basis, so that we are hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd and we're not deceived. Just like the sheep, when David Hocking did that with the Bedouin shepherd, they knew immediately when David spoke, his voice was a different voice. Why would they follow him? He's going to get in trouble. If we're Christians and we know what the Lord is saying and we see and hear something different, all it's going to do is get us in trouble. One of the things that I've heard of, which is just amazing to me today, is how that many Christian young people today are losing sight of the importance and the sanctity of marriage. And many Christian young people who claim to be Christians are living together and they not getting married. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that the bed is to be undefiled and it's to be in the bond of marriage, and that God gave one woman for one man for life in the bonds of marriage, and it's a covenant relationship. And if you listen to a different voice, because the world tells you that's foolishness, you need to see if you're compatible. I've had people tell me that. Oh, well, we need to live together so we can understand if we're compatible or not, and then if we're compatible, then we'll get married. Well, I want to tell you, it's interesting statistics that they've done. Those people who get together and live together to find out if they're compatible or not, they end up not staying together. And if they do get married, they're more likelihood of getting divorced than those that get married the way that they should and under the direction of God's Word. What is that? That's an example of listening to a voice that sounds good while you're committing to one person, but it's outside the bonds of marriage. Well, it's not a truth. It's a lie, because God has said this is the way you have start a home. It's in marriage. And I have people that I know, they're not Christians, but some of them have been living together for a long period of time. Some of them have kids. But I'm just looking at what does that set for the next generation? And the lies never cause truth to grow in people where they want to follow truth more, but the next generation is usually weaker than those that have yielded to sin in the previous generation. And so Jesus is giving this example so the people can see and hear who is the good shepherd, who are the liars, and what are you going to do, and who are you going to follow, and why. And so we need to apply that in our lives today. Those people that you listen to that claim to be Christian teachers. If the Apostle Paul commended the Bereans for going out after they had listened to him preach from the Scriptures and look at the Scriptures in greater depth and discuss the Scriptures and what he had said, and he said that they were commended for doing that, how much more do we need to go out and when we hear people speak today and look at what they've said and compare it against the Scriptures to see if it's true or not? Because there are a lot of false teachers and those who come desire to as thieves and robbers by deception and force to get you to follow after them instead of following after the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the parable of the good shepherd. And Lord, help us to understand that you are the good shepherd. You are the one that has come to lead your sheep, to take and feed us, to help us to grow. And Father, you desire to give us comfort and strength and hope. Where the thief comes in and wants to steal, and the robber comes in and wants to destroy. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see and be aware and have discerning hearts and spirits to only hear your voice as it's led, as you lead us through this world. Lord, now help us to take this with us in the rest of this week and in the weeks ahead and apply these truths to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to hymn number 587, like a lamb.